I run to Christ.
We just sang about that this morning. King Jehoshaphat faced a problem much bigger than he. And what was his solution? He ran to the Lord. He took his problem to the Lord. That's the key to victory, folks, is turning our life's issues over to the Lord and not trying to resolve them ourselves. Well, we come to the time of the service where we settle ourselves down. Hopefully you don't get yourself in a comfortable position where you can doze a little bit. I'll try to speak loudly enough that it will awaken those droopy eyelids. I joke with you, but can I tell you a secret? I have the same problem. As much as I want to stay awake and listen and things like that, over the years, numerous times, I would be sitting here listening to Jonathan teach his class, and I wasn't bored, but I just realized, you better open your eyes, fool, or you're going to go to sleep here. It's not a safe thing to just block out all light while you're listening to the speaker. And in recent days, John, as good a teacher as you are, John, I have to just keep telling myself, don't do it, don't do it, don't let yourself close those eyes. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible that you can't just sit and listen? I keep telling my wife, it is so frustrating. I've told you folks before, I've been here 40 years, but we entered the ministry in 1969, and in our first little place at Forest Avenue Baptist, it was an old two-story house, and we had one apartment in one corner of the lower level, and the rest of the house was used for Sunday school sometimes, or youth activities, or not used at all. And there was some empty bedrooms, I would imagine they should have been upstairs, and one of those became my office upstairs. And even as a young man, 20 years of age, I struggled trying to stay awake when it was time to study. And it hasn't gotten any better. Don't tell me caffeine is the answer. I've tried that. I've had as many as 4 travel mugs of coffee in a morning, and it doesn't do any good. That's worthless stuff. And I wasn't drinking decaffeinated. I don't buy that stuff. So, I tease you about dozing off. But I can tease you because I know how hard it is to stay awake sometimes. Let's ask the Lord to help us learn from Him, shall we? Thank you, Father, just for the privilege that's ours to come to this portion of our service. We have enjoyed what has transpired, and we trust you have been pleased and glorified with it. And now, as we focus our thoughts on truth from your word, help us to be attentive. Help us to learn, help us to listen, and help us to want to apply the truth that applies to our lives. In your name I pray, amen. Andrew's gone. He's up here. You have a paper handy to write down the title of this thing? Somebody does. When God says no. When God says no. When we begin to search the scriptures, especially under the heading of prayer, we discover that there are so many positive promises concerning prayer. Whatsoever you ask in my name, believing what? Yeah, you're going to have it, and so on. And we are to ask in faith, nothing doubting, and so on. And as we look at that topic of prayer, we find that there are so many times that it just seems like, well, just looks like God always says yes. But does God always say yes? No, he doesn't. And sometimes he says no. And what I would like us to do is I would just like us to, with that thought in mind, that there are times when God says no, see if we could find some explanation. See if we could find some answers. We're not trying to second guess God. We're not trying to make any suggestion that God fails us when he says no. But truthfully, there are times when we ask and he says no. No, that's not my will for you. So let's see if we can find some answers. Quite often we number them. Let's letter them tonight. A, our first answer. And we turn to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And we see here, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That's pretty King James-ish, isn't it? Your iniquities have caused a break, a separation between you and God. And your sins have hidden his face from you that he what? Cannot hear, will not hear. So if we're trying to find how come God isn't answering this prayer, how come it seems as though he's not concerned about this, here's our first possible suggestion. It very well could be that there is some sin in our lives that is causing God to not hear when we are praying. Another verse to add right along with this one would be Psalm 66, 18. And there we find the psalmist tells us that if I regard iniquity in my heart, what does that mean, if I regard iniquity in my heart? That means I know it's there, but I'm just not going to do anything about it. If I regard iniquity in my heart, what's the rest of the verse say? The Lord will not hear. If I am not being truthful about sin, yeah? I know my life isn't what it ought to be, but who's perfect? We often like to justify ourselves. And all that is an excuse. So the psalmist says, if I know it's there, but I don't do anything about it, he's not going to hear me. Don't bother what? Praying. Isn't that a terrible thing to say? Don't bother praying? How dare? Well, God's hands are not shortened that He can't help you, and His ear isn't heavy that He can't hear you, Isaiah 59 tells us. But when there is sin in our life, He will not hear us. So, in spite of all of those positive promises that we could find concerning prayer, pray, just pray about it, and you know the Lord is going to answer. Yes, the Lord is going to answer, first of all, if we come to Him with a clean vessel. But if we don't, we have two portions of Scripture which tell us why He's not going to listen. And perhaps we would be wise to check our hearts and our lives if we have some questions. How come God isn't answering this? How come He's not? Maybe there, answer A. It could be because of sin. Let's give another suggestion. How about B? Maybe the time isn't right. Maybe the time isn't right. Maybe God has given you some assurance that certain things are going to happen, but the time's not right. You say, give me some for instance. I give you the man Abraham in the book of Genesis. And when Abraham was about 75 years old, God promised Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. Well, that sounds like a pretty good promise, doesn't it? Was there any problem with that promise? His wife, 10 years younger than him, 65 years old, was what? She was barren. So at age 75, God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of a great nation. And after God had made that promise to Abraham, at different times God was speaking to Abraham. And on another occasion, God told Abraham one evening, look up into the sky and look at the stars. Isn't there a lot of them? That's the way your descendants are going to be. Or go to the seashore and look at the sand along the shore. Isn't there a lot of sand? How would you like to have to count the sand pebbles in a bucket, much less a whole shoreline? And God said to Abraham, your descendants are going to be like the stars of the sky, like the sand of the sea. That's great. But there's just one problem. I don't have any children. I don't have any children. When you believe God is going to do something and God doesn't, what is the temptation? Pardon? Think He failed? What else? Help Him a little bit. So as time went on, and this is all in the book of Genesis in the account concerning Abraham. Abraham starts at chapter 12, by the way. So in those subsequent chapters, Time is going on. God is adding more to it. God is talking as though it's already happened. Your descendants will be like the stars. I don't even have one yet. That's okay. Abraham started thinking, boy, I wonder how God is going to do this. I know. And he said, I'll bet Eliezer in my household, God is just one of my servants, one of these that is just like a, he's become like a son to me. He'll be, God said, it's not going to be through Eliezer. Okay, that didn't work. And it always helps when the wife helps her husband resolve issues. And his wife, Sarah, she was laying awake at night also thinking about this. Now, my husband believes that God told him that he's going to be the father of a great nation, and he's the father of nothing. So, I know, hey Abe, I got an idea. I've got this young handmaid here, her name is Hagar. And she's in our house, she's our possession. And if you had a child with her, lawfully, legally, that would be your child, and that must be how God intends this to work out. Boy, there was one time when the counsel of a wife stunk. That was terrible counsel. But Abraham bought into it. And Hagar had a son, and his name was Ishmael. And Abraham was all excited and proud and thought that everything was hunky-dory here. He was in his late 80s by then. Remember, he got the promise when he was 75. But God let the air out of the balloon one day when God said, Abraham, I know you think you've got this problem all resolved, and I know you think I'm going to fulfill the promises through your fleshly son here, Ishmael, by means of Hagar, the handmaid, but guess what? He's not the one I'm talking about. Your own wife is going to have a son. But God, she's never been able to have a child. That doesn't matter, God said, she will. About a year from now. And when Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100, in God's time, guess what? Abraham became a daddy. And the son of promise was born. For 25 years, Abraham had that promise. He had tried to work it out numerous ways, made a royal mess of things. because the descendants of Ishmael, Abraham's son, became whom? Who are the descendants of Ishmael? They are the Arab nations. Down through the centuries, who has been the Israelites, the children of Abraham's top enemies? Who have they been? The Arabs. Thanks, Abraham. Thanks, Sarah, for the suggestion about Hagar, your handmaid. See what a mess we make when we think, oh, this is how God intends that to work. No. There was a reason why God was saying no to Abraham, because it wasn't time yet. God promised that son to him when he was 75 years old, but Abraham didn't know it, but God intended, I intend you to wait till you're 100 to give you the son that I'm talking about. The son through whom I will fulfill all of these promises. Well, maybe there's sin, the reason we're not seeing God answer. Maybe it's not God's time yet. Maybe we think we know what he wants to do, but just wait. Give God time. And take your hands off trying to help hurry God along. That's the mess that Abraham got into. But here's another suggestion. C. Maybe God is saying no because his glory is at stake. His glory is at stake. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 22. And let's look at verses 6, 7, and 8. Here we find the account of David talking to his son Solomon. And let's listen to these words, 1 Chronicles 22, 6, 7, and 8. Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. David charged his son Solomon.